Well, good Sunday morning to you, everyone. This is Steve Saffington with our second show, Enriching People's Lives. Thank you for tuning in. We hope everybody is going to have a great day today, worshiping the Lord, resting, and we're excited to be sharing some information with you and to be with you here today. We look forward to hearing from more of you. Thank you for those who have tuned in and who've commented and given us great feedback on our show. And we look forward to, again, bringing on some of the guests that you've told us about, some of the covering some of the topics that you've discussed. So we look forward to doing that. We're going to get into our book here pretty quickly this morning. We gave you a lot of background information last week, and looking at our website, I think we're going to be able to archive the broadcast so that you can go back. If you miss something, you can actually go to the internet and listen to any of the shows. We already, at this point, have an interview that I did on AFR.net with Tim Wildman a month or so ago when Tim interviewed me. And so you can go to our website and listen to that. It's about a 40-minute long interview, and we covered some great information. Tim was very astute and asked some good questions and made me dig deep for some answers. So if you would go to our website, that's todayswordonmoney.com. You can, of course, follow us on Facebook there. You can follow us on Twitter. You can read our blog. You can read samples of chapters from the book. You can read reviews from people who have endorsed our book. And you can also, down in the bottom right corner, you can click on the archives. You can read our newspaper, our newsletters, and also you can hear the interview that Tim and I did. So please visit our website and send us an email if you got questions or comments about the show. We'd love to hear those. And also, if you know of a guest that you would like us to have on the show, please tell us that too. Or if you yourself would like to appear, we're looking to host especially Christian business people and various ministries. I'm going to have some of my friends that are in various ministries around the area. I'll have them on as guests, but we'd like you to give us your input also, because, again, we want to connect the body of Christ. We want this show to be kind of a clearinghouse so that we help each other network and find out about all of the neat things that God's doing all around the area. So tune into our website, and you can begin listening to our shows there as well as on Sunday mornings as well. Want to give you a little bit of feedback here, just to read some things that some people wrote about the book that I wrote, Today's Word on Money. As I mentioned last week, it's a 40-day journey that addresses the spiritual components of today's financial problems. And I was very blessed. Some of the people who agreed to endorse the book, some of them are fairly well known. For example, Jim Stovall. Many of you have maybe read his books, The Ultimate Gift, The Ultimate Life. His movie, The Ultimate Gift, which was from his book, you know, it stars James Garner and Lee Meriwether and several other well-known actors. Brian Dennehy. That is one of my favorite all-time movies. Great movie. If you haven't seen that, it's called The Ultimate Gift. Great principles. It's not a real outwardly Christian movie, but lots of good Christian principles in there, and a great soundtrack. So I would highly recommend that movie. Anyway, Jim said in his endorsement of the book, he says, "Money is not our problem, but it's a symptom of so many personal, relational, and spiritual issues we face in our lives. We don't have a money problem. We have a knowledge and wisdom problem. Books like Today's Word on Money are important as we seek the information that will help us manage our money instead of allowing our money to manage us." Ron Blue is president of Kingdom Advisors. Many of you have heard of him. He has an accounting background and had Ron Blue and Company for many years. And Ron said, "Steve Saffington is a man who practices what he preaches. He has put together a book of meditations that will enrich anyone's life. He said, I'm delighted to be able to endorse Steve and his book. I'm hoping that this will be used by thousands and thousands of people. And again, I hope that that is true. My prayer is, we're members at Antioch Community Church, and Pastor Jimmy Seipert, every time when he preaches, he always prays, Lord, get me out of the way so that you can say what you want to say. And that's my prayer on this show, as well as it was my prayer in the book. That, I don't want to say things that are just for me, but I want them to be from God so that he gets accomplished what he wants done. And so, Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing. So I've gotten in the habit of just asking, Lord, what are you doing today? I want to get in on it. And so that's my prayer for the book, as well as the show. Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, he said, Steve offers up an easy-to-understand guide to money management with today's Word on Money. The words are down-to-earth but divinely inspired. Almost any question you can think of relating to finances and life are covered. Read it. You'll be better prepared for what's ahead. So I'm thankful to Tim for writing that. Let me scroll down here. Matt Staver. Matt is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, and he's the dean and professor of law at Liberty University School of Law. He says, today's Word on Money is a must-read because it addresses a core issue that we all struggle with every day. How do we deal with money and possessions? Tell me how someone deals with money and possessions, and I'll tell you the depth of that person's relationship with the Lord who created the universe. Steve Sappington has hit the nail on the head in his book. The Bible speaks more about money and possessions than almost any topic. This book will liberate those who are held captive by a wrong understanding of money and possessions, and will provide wise counsel on how best to manage what God has entrusted to us to advance his kingdom. Now, I apologize for reading these things. I don't want you to think I'm trying to toot my own horn, but I am wanting you to know what other people have said about this book so that you get an idea of some of the things that we cover in the book. Again, I really feel like the Lord has given me some information that will bless a lot of people in the body of Christ. And so I'm hoping that you will read the book. You can actually go to the website and download a copy. The book is $12.95, and you get an ebook. And I would encourage you to do that. You can read it. How many times have you ever gone to work and you realize you've skipped your devotional? Well, if you have it on your computer, you can have your devotional even after you get to work. I request prayer. We're looking for a publisher to publish a hard copy version. We've had a couple of offers, but they wanted us to pay all the expenses. So since we're kind of new to this, we want to make sure we are good stewards and sign a contract that's pleasing to the Lord. And so we're looking to make sure we get the best deal. So we'd appreciate your prayers on that we would find the right publisher that can help us get this book into the hands of the optimum number of people. Let me go on down a little further here, and I want to read just a couple of other comments. This is from Barry Camp, who's a pastor at Highland Baptist. He said, finally, someone has done it. Someone has written a book about God's laws of finance and investment that a layperson like me can understand. Steve Sappington's book, Today's Word on Money, is that book. For years, sitting in a financial advisor's office was like sitting in a doctor's office. I didn't understand half of what they were saying. Having read this book, I feel like Hank Williams and can say, praise the Lord, I see the light. It is a must for every person who wants to learn God's biblical principles of money management. I recommend it highly. And Pastor Barry is, for those of you who know him, he's a great sense of humor. This is actually written by Don Powell. Don was the 18th chairman of the FDIC. Don is from Amarillo area. He said, this timely book combines common sense, research, and academics, but the important message is based upon guiding principles inspired some 2,000 years ago. And Don was, after he was with the FDIC, he was a federal coordinator of Gulf Coast Rebuilding after Hurricane Katrina, and he's back in banking now. Let me go through, I'd like to read the titles of the 40 days, and actually we have some bonus chapters in the book also. So let me read those to you. And again, to give you a little better idea of what we cover in the book, and again, you can read some samples on our website, and you can actually order the book online if you'd like. The first day, day one in our book, we cover what is the most valuable thing on earth. You know, there's lots of scriptures that tell us that. You know, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But what is the most valuable thing on earth? And then you know, we give you the scripture to meditate on. It's Proverbs 11:30. Day two, we talk about who owns that most valuable thing on earth. I think the answer, you know, may surprise you there. The meditation is Philemon verse 6, that the sharing of our faith may become affected by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in us by Christ Jesus. Number three, this is, I wanted to answer this fairly early in the book because I get this question so often. You know, people say, Steve, what's the best investment that I can make right now? You know, situations, circumstances, the economy changes. And so when people have some money available, you know, or they're wanting to protect, as in the case of, you know, over the past year or so, they're wanting to make sure they don't take a big loss again, especially if they're getting close to, you know, where they're living off of the earnings from their investment. So, you know, we discussed that. What's the very best investment that you can make now? Number four, we talk about, you know, providing for risk. We talk about different types of risk. You know, there's risk of losing your principal. There's risks of, you know, what happens if, you know, inflation really goes up dramatically, or interest rates can perform or can be another type of risk. You know, low interest rates or high interest rates. You know, if you're borrowing and rates are high, that's a big risk. If you're loaning and rates are low, that's a risk. So how do we, fire insurance, health insurance, property insurance, vehicle insurance, life insurance, all those types of things are designed to help us with, you know, be able to manage various types of risks. So we talk about that. Here's a great lesson. It's day five. How much should you keep in your accounts? You know, I get this question a lot, you know, and one of the things that we help clients with is to determine, you know, how much is enough? You know, the fool that, you know, tore down his barns and was going to build bigger barns, you know, the Lord called him a fool because, you know, that day his soul was going to be required of him. He didn't know how much was enough. And if you determine how much is enough, for example, how much income you should make, you know, anything above that, you know, why did God give that to you? You know, so we need to be in prayer to, you know, maybe God gave you a gift for making money. Maybe he gave you a gift to be able to make $1 million a year, but you really, you know, maybe you only spend $100,000 of that. And well, what should you do with the rest of it? You know, God has a purpose and is giving you and blessing you with that extra money for a reason. So you need to be find out, you know, where should you be putting that money? Where should you be investing it? Where should you be giving or donating it? Where should you be sowing it? Because, you know, we all have to give an account. As I said in my newsletter recently, I said, you know, when I stand before the Lord, I'm really praying that I'll be able to hear well done instead of well. You know, I don't want to have to answer that question if God asked me, you know, what have I done? Day six, here's a great topic. What does the Bible say about retirement? You know, this chapter, I think, will really surprise a lot of people. You would definitely be surprised. So we'll probably cover that in a future broadcast. What does the Bible say about retirement? And then on day seven, we look at, you know, are you supposed to be in business or in ministry? This is, again, a great topic. So many people have, I think, been confused. You know, I remember Paul Meyer. We read his foreword last week to this book, and I can remember him telling the story that one time he actually was talking with Billy Graham, and you know, he had a heart to minister, and he asked Billy Graham if he should go into the ministry, and Billy Graham gave great counsel and said, you know, Paul, you've been given that gift, and you should use that business, your business skills, and then use proceeds from that to give. And of course, I think that's what Mr. Meyer did. You know, he gave tens of millions of dollars in his lifetime. So, again, we need to ask those questions. Are we supposed to be in business or ministry? Or, you know, maybe we should see our business as a ministry. You know, I think as I look around and see what God is doing around the world, to me, that's one of the major moves that God is, that he's using to reach people is people who love the Lord, but they've got a knack for business, and they can take that business literally almost to any country in the world and be welcomed there. Whereas if they told that those same people in many of those countries that they were a missionary, they would not be allowed to enter that country. But yet they can be a missionary and share God's truths throughout the day in the course of business and lift the Lord up. And what does God say? He says if he's lifted up, he'll draw people to him. So, again, that's a very important lesson I think you'll enjoy reading. Day 8, we talk about the little-known dangers of retirement accounts. Earlier we talked about whether you should retire or not, and then we talk about, you know, if you have a retirement account, what are some of the dangers that a lot of financial advisors don't tell you about that are contained in retirement accounts? You know, I have a friend, he said, you know, to me, he said, any retirement account ought to have big red bold letters on the front of it saying, warning, this can be dangerous to your financial health. And so we talk about why that is and what are some of the risks and dangers that you need to be aware of if you put money into a retirement account. And then we talk about ideal investments. You know, what characteristics does an ideal investment have? So day 9, we say that, you know, the title of that is The First Characteristic of an Ideal Investment. And the meditation verse is Ephesians 2:10. You know, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he planned beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, to me, I read that as, you know, before time even began, he knew the good works that he wanted us to walk in, and we just need to listen to him and find out where they are and get in the flow. Risk and reward. We have talked earlier about risk, but you know, again, nothing ventured, nothing gained, and you know, higher the reward potential, the higher the risk potential. So, how do you evaluate if an investment is right for you? That's the follow up in the next day, day 11. What is good stewardship? That is a great question that Christians need to ask themselves. You know, how should they be stewards of what God has entrusted to them? What does that mean? You know, it's stewards of not just money, but stewards of our time, stewards of our family, stewardship of all the different resources that God has entrusted to us. In day 13, we talk about moral investing and biblical investing. You know, should we invest in a company that does various things? You know, for example, the parable of the talents. I believe it's in Matthew 25. You know, if that first servant had doubled the money, but he told the master that he did it by investing in a brothel, I don't think that God would have said, "Well done." So it's not just the fact that he doubled the money, but he did it in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. And so when we invest in various things, even if they may give a good return for a while, you know, should we invest in businesses that donate to or profit from abortion and pornography and gambling and all various alternative lifestyles that are condemned in the Bible? So this is, you know, we discuss these issues in day 13. Day 14 is the title of that is, can it be attached? You know, we talk about, you know, risk that comes from being sued. You know, litigation is a big factor. You know, there's so many lawyers. It's good to have Christian attorneys, but there are a lot of people who will, you know, sue someone at the drop of a hat. You know, things that used to never be discussed, or even there was no controversy. You know, now there's someone who is, you know, there's the nickname, you know, for ambulance chasers. People who are looking for a way to fabricate or to create some kind of a litigation situation, whether or not it actually is deserving of that or not. And again, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of great Christian financial attorneys. In fact, we actually help clients to, we recommend them to help them with their estate planning and to develop a godly estate plan. In day 15, we begin the discussion of mortgages. You know, should you have a mortgage? What's the, if you should have it, you know, what's the best type of mortgage to have? If you should not have it, you know, what's the most efficient way to pay it off? Where can you keep money as you are paying the mortgage off? And we get into gifting and estate planning and tax minimization the next few days. Day 18, we discuss the garage giveaways. This is something that my wife originated, again, as she was listening to the Lord, oh, a number of years ago, more than 10 years ago, I'm sure. It dates back into the mid-90s, and she was going to have a garage sale, and just really felt like the Lord spoke to her that we should give everything away. So we've continued to do that, and it's really blessed us and blessed a lot of people. And so we give more details about that, you know, how we actually conduct garage giveaways instead of garage sales. So you'll enjoy reading day 18 of our book. Day 19, the title of that day is A Pile of Money on the Kitchen Table. It's a way for you to think about, you know, if you converted every asset that God has entrusted you, all the cars, all the land, all the houses, all the IRAs, all the various accounts, and you just added it up and put it, you know, amount of money, whether it's coins or dollar bills or whatever, and you just put that number, that amount of money on the table, and you had to give it away to your heirs or to wherever God wanted you to give it. You know, and you had to do it before tomorrow morning. You know, what would you do? You know, one of the examples I give clients is that, you know, let's say that Mr. Smith is a client that I serve, and Mr. Smith retires. He and Mrs. Smith enjoy traveling, and they entrust the investments to my stewardship. And so I'm investing those where I think is appropriate for their level of risk tolerance and their need for income. And every month we send them some money. And then one day, after having a great retirement or redirection, is another good way. You know, maybe they've been on the mission field some and taken mission trips, and their investments have provided them the access to be able to do that. So after working for a number of years and then being in the ministry, or what we typically call retirement, let's say that Mr. Smith dies, and the next month Mrs. Smith calls me and says, "Steve, where's that monthly check that you had been sending Mr. Smith and me?" And I say, "Oh, Ms. Smith, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you didn't realize that once Mr. Smith died, I gave that money to my children." You think Mrs. Smith might be upset if I said that to her? But yet, if you think about it, how many times do we say the same thing to God? You know, we pay attorneys vast sums of money so that, you know, the money that God's entrusted to us is really His money. And yet we do all these calculations and all these legal things so that when we die, we can give God's money to our kids. So think about that. Again, that's what this chapter in the book helps us to think about. You know, what does God want you to do with His money? And I'm not saying you shouldn't give any to your children, but you should ask the question. You know, "Lord, I've got X amount of money. How much do you want to go back to doing your work when I'm in heaven, and how much do you want me to give to my children or to other heirs?" Day 20 is the greedy farmer. You know, I grew up on a farm, And one time my dad told me he was looking at a piece of land, and he said, you know, he was really concerned about it. He didn't want to appear greedy. And he said, Steve, you know, most farmers aren't greedy. They just want the land next to theirs. And if you think about it, that's what the way most people are, whether it's business or land or anything. We just want to keep on acquiring, you know, till we get everything. And, you know, that's not necessarily what God wants us to do. Day 21, we talk about harvest time. Day 22, we give a great analogy, eat the grapes, but don't kill the vines. It's a little parable there that we tell. Day 23, we talk about 529 plans. Are they really college funding, or is there a way that we can use them for estate planning? How many legs does your chair have? You know, how many ways does a ministry raise money? Too many ministries only receive money from gifts of current income. There are several ways that a well-funded, balanced ministry should have money coming in. And it's not through just current income. It can be planned giving, estate gifts, and various other types of donations, so that the ministry is not just dependent on how people, you know, their supporters, how their income is going currently. We've seen that recently. You know, if a ministry has a great endowment, you know, they haven't suffered much here in the last year or two, but what happens if, you know, Social Security is in trouble at some point down the road? Then that means a lot of ministries' income will be in trouble also. Should we minister to the wealthy? Is that a group just like ministering to the poor? You know, is stewardship the same thing as giving? Excellent topic there. Three worldviews. Oh, this is one I'll really, in fact, if you go to my website, you can look at the archives. And you can pull up a little 3-minute video where I discuss three worldviews. Is God fair or is he just? Day 29, we talk about the difference between fairness and justice. Day 30, we talk about when did commerce begin? Day 31, what happens to our good intentions? Day 32, you know, biblical profit, supernatural provision, and supernatural wealth. Day 35 is the joy of work. Day 36 is to catch a thief. And day 37 is politically or spiritually correct. Day 38 is how do we treat people. Day 39 is first the spiritual, then mechanical. And day 40 is how to find a financial advisor. So that's just a quick run through of the titles. We'll actually, in coming weeks, we'll read some excerpts from our book. Again, we thank you for joining us this week. We're praying for you. We ask you to pray for us that we would do the Lord's will. And remember our website, todayswordonmoney.com. Please let us know on Twitter or Facebook that you're following us. Please send us an email if you'd like us to have a guest, or if you'd like to be a guest, or if you just have a topic that you'd like us to discuss. Send that to sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. And we wish you the very best, and we look forward to talking with you again next Sunday. Don't forget, you can go to our archives on our website and listen to these broadcasts again if you found something valuable. Thanks, and may the Lord richly bless you. May you receive God's very best in every area of your life.